Hash Journal Club presentation. Frequency-specific alterations in brain connectivity induced by pulvinar stimulation. Good morning, colleagues. Today I'll be presenting findings from Acerbo and colleagues on deep brain stimulation of the pulvinar medialis in epilepsy, published in Epilepsia this year. This study provides important insights into how different stimulation frequencies affect brain connectivity patterns. Hash background and rationale. Approximately 30% of epilepsy patients prove drug-resistant, and while resective surgery remains the gold standard treatment, only a subset of patients are surgical candidates. Deep brain stimulation has emerged as an alternative neuromodulation strategy, with anterior thalamic nuclei stimulation showing 54% responder rates at 2 years. However, the mechanisms underlying DBS efficacy remain incompletely understood. Recent evidence suggests that focal epilepsy involves prominent alterations in brain connectivity and networks, with patients demonstrating pathological hyperconnectivity. The effectiveness of neuromodulation may be linked to stimulation-induced changes in brain functional connectivity, with some studies showing that successful DBS reduces large-scale functional connectivity. While anterior thalamic nuclei represent the only FDA-approved target, alternative targets like the pulvinar medialis show promise. The pulvinar medialis is the largest thalamic nucleus with extensive neural connections throughout the brain and has been implicated in seizure propagation and termination. The critical gap addressed by this study is determining optimal stimulation parameters, particularly frequency, for DBS in epilepsy, as current parameters are largely empirical rather than evidence-based. Hash objectives and hypotheses. The primary aim was to investigate the impact of different pulvinar medialis stimulation frequencies on brain functional connectivity across a broad frequency range of 1 to 200 Hz. The authors hypothesized that certain frequencies could selectively reduce functional connectivity, positioning them as potential candidates for optimal parameter settings in chronic DBS. They specifically sought to determine whether specific frequencies were more effective in modulating functional connectivity than others. Secondary aims included examining whether connectivity changes varied based on anatomical location, relationship to the epileptogenic zone, and laterality relative to the stimulation site. Hash methods. This was a prospective interventional study conducted at a single epilepsy center. 14 consecutive patients who underwent stereoelectroencephalographic recordings for presurgical evaluation of drug-resistant focal epilepsy were studied between the years mentioned in the institutional review. All patients had at least two contacts within the pulvinar medialis. The patient population consisted of 10 females and 4 males with a mean age of 36.7 years. Most patients had distributed epileptogenic networks, with 8 of 14 having epileptogenic regions in 2 distinct lobes. The intervention involved a standardized stimulation protocol performed an average of 7.5 days after electrode implantation. Using a CE-marked microstimulator, bipolar biphasic stimulations were delivered between the 2 deepest contacts of the pulvinar electrode. The stimulation protocol consisted of 20 seconds of prestimulation recording, followed by 20 seconds of stimulation at various frequencies ranging from 1 to 200 Hz, then 20 seconds of post-stimulation recording. A 20-second washout period separated each cycle. Stimulation parameters were held constant with a fixed output current of 2 mA and pulse width of 450 microseconds. The primary outcome measure was functional connectivity assessed using the H-squared nonlinear correlation coefficient applied to broadband SEEG signals from 1 to 45 Hz. This coefficient quantifies signal interdependence with values bounded between 0, indicating no correlation, and 1, indicating maximal correlation. Node strength calculations were performed for each anatomical brain region. Statistical analysis employed linear mixed models with stimulation frequency and period as fixed effects and patients as random effects. Post-hoc analyses used Satterthwaite's method with Bonferroni correction. To ensure adequate statistical power, frequencies were grouped into 3 ranges. Low frequencies less than 20 Hz medium frequencies between 20 and 80 Hz, and high frequencies greater than 80 Hz. Hash results. Regarding enrollment and flow, 14 patients completed the full stimulation protocol with analysis of multiple brain regions. All patients had bilateral electrode coverage with adequate sampling of frontal, temporal, parietal, insular, and subcortical regions, though occipital coverage was insufficient for analysis. Baseline characteristics showed the cohort had distributed epileptogenic networks typical of drug-resistant focal epilepsy. 8 patients subsequently underwent resective surgery, with 3 achieving seizure freedom, reflecting the challenging nature of this patient population. The primary outcome revealed striking frequency-dependent effects on overall functional connectivity. High-frequency stimulation between 90 and 200 Hz consistently decreased functional connectivity, with statistically significant reductions at 130 and 150 Hz, with p-values less than 0.001. Similarly, 10 Hz stimulation produced significant connectivity reduction. In contrast, medium frequencies between 20 and 80 Hz led to consistent increases in functional connectivity, with significant changes at 20, 40, 60, and 80 Hz. 1 Hz stimulation also produced significant increases. Secondary outcomes demonstrated several important patterns. First, connectivity changes were more pronounced ipsilateral to the stimulated pulvinar, with statistically significant changes limited to the ipsilateral side. Second, analysis within versus outside the epileptogenic zone revealed complex patterns. The epileptogenic zone showed significant decreases after 10, 100, and 150 Hz stimulation, but increases after 1, 5, 20, 60, and 200 Hz stimulation. Non-epileptogenic zones showed patterns similar to overall connectivity changes. Third, anatomical analysis revealed that high-frequency stimulation resulted in significant connectivity reduction, particularly in subcortical structures, with greater than 50% disconnection, and in the parietal lobe. The effects extended beyond the epileptogenic zone, influencing all assessed brain lobes. Hash discussion and interpretation. The authors conclude that acute pulvinar medialis stimulation significantly alters brain functional connectivity in a frequency-dependent manner, with high frequencies of 90 to 150 Hz reducing connectivity, while medium frequencies of 20 to 80 Hz increase it. These findings align with prior literature on anterior thalamic nuclei DBS, which also demonstrated significant reductions in large-scale functional connectivity. The proposed mechanism suggests that high-frequency stimulation overrides intrinsic neural rhythms, leading to desynchronization, while medium frequencies may enhance thalamic output, increasing cortical excitability. The clinical implications are significant, as the results suggest that desynchronization through high-frequency stimulation may represent a common therapeutic mechanism across neuromodulation approaches. The authors propose that reducing pathological hyperconnectivity observed in drug-refractory epilepsy could explain the anti-seizure effects. The spatial distribution findings indicate that pulvinar DBS affects different networks than anterior thalamic stimulation, potentially offering complementary therapeutic options. Hash critical appraisal. From an internal validity standpoint, the study has several strengths, including the standardized stimulation protocol, objective connectivity measures, and appropriate statistical methods accounting for multiple comparisons. However, there are concerning limitations. The sample size of 14 patients is relatively small, resulting in undersampling of some brain regions and limited statistical power. The inability to analyze stimulation artifacts forced exclusion of the during stimulation period, which limits mechanistic understanding. The 20-second washout period between trials may introduce cross-contamination effects, though the authors argue that varied frequency responses suggest limited contamination. Regarding external validity, the findings may be generalizable to similar drug-resistant focal epilepsy populations undergoing SEEG evaluation. However, the study population had distributed epileptogenic networks, which may not represent all epilepsy patients. The acute stimulation protocol may not predict chronic stimulation effects, which involve neuroplasticity mechanisms. Additionally, the lack of correlation with clinical outcomes limits the ability to determine therapeutic relevance of the connectivity changes. Important questions remain unanswered, including whether these acute connectivity changes translate to long-term therapeutic benefit, how individual patient network characteristics might predict optimal stimulation parameters, and whether similar frequency-dependent effects occur with other DBS targets. #takehome points. This study demonstrates that pulvinar medially's deep brain stimulation produces frequency-specific alterations in brain connectivity, with high frequencies above 90 Hz reducing pathological hyperconnectivity, while intermediate frequencies may exacerbate it. These findings support the use of high-frequency stimulation parameters in clinical practice and suggest that connectivity measures could potentially guide personalized parameter selection. However, the clinical significance of these connectivity changes requires validation through correlation with seizure outcomes in chronic stimulation studies.